might be known by the church. The word manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold means multicolored. So God's revelation is multicolored. It means many-sided wisdom of God. It means multifaceted wisdom of God. Are we following this? So now, when God gives portions and bits of his revelation to others, if you have not understood one perspective of God, you need to be humble enough to be able to understand the other perspective. If not, soon you may begin to think that that is all there is to God, and you may not enjoy that other aspect of God that he wants you to know. Are we following what I'm teaching? So now, what I'm trying to say in context of what I'm teaching is that there are four foundational structures that governs heaven's system. Number one is what? The wrath of God. Number two is the holiness of God. Number three is the love of God. Number four is the grace of God. So now what happens is that if you only know the grace of God or the love of God or the wrath of God or the holiness of God standing alone, you may go into extremes. So those who only know the revelation of God's wrath only preach judgment day. And in an attempt to preach judgment, they've ended up condemning people. Are you following this thing? There are other people also who only know the holiness of God, God's standards. So they teach God's standards to a point as if the only thing about God is his holiness. So if you are not living God's standards, that means you are not worthy of God. Some have also stretched that to a certain extreme today. It has made people more legalistic than depending on God's power. Are we following this? And some also know only the grace of God, the finished work of Jesus Christ, God's kindness. And I've gotten into the extreme of making people think that all that there is God's grace, and many have entered into licentious living. And there are others also who know about the love of God only, and because they think all there is to God is love, so they teach about the love of God to the extreme that people have been made to think that when you are paying certain prices, why are you living as though God does not love you? Why are you fasting for 100 days? Why are you praying for 4 hours? God is a loving God. When you wake up in the morning, just greet him, good morning, Holy Spirit, and you are through for the day. So now many have become lazy because someone has taken only one aspect of God. Am I helping you today? So listen to me. The wrath of God is the revelation of God's holy anger, revealed against all unrighteousness. Look at the book of Romans chapter 1. Are you there? Romans chapter 1, the verse 18. Watch that. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness. Don't be shocked that God has wrath. It's an attribute of God. It governs his heavenly structure. God is wrathful. And you see, there's a difference between man's wrath and God's wrath. God's anger is holy. Man's anger is destructive. So I heard someone say the last time, if God says we should not be angry and wrathful, why should he have wrath? Well, God never forbid you is be angry but do not sin. That subscribes to holy anger. Holy anger and not unrighteous one, because God himself has wrath. Are you getting that? So the wrath of God is God's holy, what? It's a revelation of God's holy anger revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, which means the wrath of God is a necessary part of God's heavenly structure. If he doesn't have wrath, he ceases to be God, Because under what system would God be able to punish rebellion? Are we following this thing? Now, God's holiness is a revelation of his holy standards. God's holiness is a revelation of a standard. God has a standard. He's separated. Holiness means separation. He's separate. He's distinct. He's unique. He has standards that makes him unique. So his holiness is a revelation of his what? His standards. God's love is a revelation of his holy desire for creation. God's love is a revelation of his holy affection and desire for his creature, especially man. Are we following this? And God's grace, or the grace of God, is a revelation of God's kindness and unmerited favor toward man. If you have understood these four foundations that governs heaven structures, I am telling you, something will shift about your understanding of God. The other day, there was one Christian who later became an unbeliever. He, in fact, became an atheist, because he said, how can a good God put people to hell? Do you see that? So when people only know about the grace and the love of God, and they don't understand the honor systems, which is the wrath and the holiness of God, they will soon become atheists, because they'll be shocked that how did this good God end up this way? Are you following what I'm teaching you? Now here's the deal. I'll give you a practical example. The moment man, Adam, committed a high treason, there was a problem. There was a big problem. There was a violation in the spirit. And the pressure was not on man. The pressure was on God. You know why? Because when man sinned by committing high treason, what happened is that he violated God's standard, his holiness. Therefore, he needed to incur God's wrath, God's holy anger. But the problem is that he violated God's holy law and brought upon him God's holy wrath. But the challenge is that this God, who is holy and wrathful, also is loving and gracious. So now the God who has been violated and is angry now also is a God of love and is gracious. So now there's a challenge. God's wrath and God's love has united in a human being. So God must now punish the man and love the man at the same time. He must do that righteously and legally, because the moment God violates his own heavenly foundational structure, he ceases to be God. So now, how can God, you see, so God's wrath says that, God's holiness says that man has sinned. God's wrath says that he must be punished. God's love says that you love him, he must be forgiven. God's grace says that you must show that forgiveness by your kindness. So now, man has now put God in a tight corner. Of course, it's not a tight corner anyway. So now listen to me. A practical example, apart from man's issue, is how God dealt with Israel. Remember, God gave them commandments. That was his holiness being revealed, his holy standard. So the law in itself was not good, was not bad. If you read Romans 7, the Bible says the law is good and the law is spiritual, but man is carnal. It was you that couldn't obey it. It didn't make it bad. So the law was a revelation of God's holiness. The punishment that came by disobedience was a revelation of God's wrath. The tabernacle that was set up was a revelation of God's love, and the animal sacrifice was a revelation of God's grace. Glory. So, this problem had to be solved. The supernatural God had to solve a supernatural problem, and that supernatural problem must be solved supernaturally, naturally. So now God had to step out of time and wear the clothing of human flesh, culminated it on the cross. And what we saw on the cross was that Jesus assumed man's rebellion by becoming sin for us. That means he agreed that I, on account of man, have violated God. Meanwhile, he didn't do it. And God, by his wrath, had to punish his own son who found himself a man. So he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus never called God, God onto the cross. He called him Father. But because there was a separation as a revelation of God's wrath, he saw God show him wrath. So now, guess what? Through the cross, God's love and grace paid ransom to God's wrath and holiness, legally and righteously. So now, in the person of Jesus, Jesus took all your judgment and God's wrath so he can release God's love and grace to you. So listen to me. In our dealings with God, we need to understand how God's system, heavenly structures, operate. Because many people are taking God for granted because of grace. I'm teaching good here. So now hear me. When you read the book of Romans chapter 11, the Bible tells us, behold the kindness and the strictness of God. Hey! Let me look for that scripture for you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you enjoying this thing at all? Can someone get it for me? Romans 11. All right, 11:22. Now watch. Can we read together? He says what? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. So God is both good and severe. Give me an NLT version so you understand it. So don't be shocked about God anymore. Notice how God is both kind and severe. Give me Amplified. Quickly, let's do that quickly. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity. I'm looking for something that will say something different from the severity so you understand it. Maybe Message translation. He says, make sure you stay alert to these qualities of a gentle kindness and what? Ruthless severity. So it is not that God is wicked. When people fail to believe Jesus, it's not that God is wicked taking them to hell. It is a part of the foundational structures that govern his personality and character. Oh, so someone wanted to trap me and he says, man of God, so what you're saying, you're making sense, but Jesus Christ is a revelation of God. So if you want to find full expression of who God is, we look at Jesus. So what they're trying to say is that, so if Jesus did not have any wrath, that means God does not have wrath. That's where the error is. It was in Jesus we saw all the revelation of God. There was a time Jesus was angry and whipped people. That means God has wrath. There was a time Jesus pronounced judgment upon Jerusalem. That means God judges. That's why Jesus healed a woman and told her, forgive a woman, say there's no condemnation for you, but he said go and sin no more. He was actually letting her understand God's structure. I saw a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think from the verse 10 or so. He says that, therefore, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. That means this God we serve, the God we are enjoying today, he is terror. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest of God, and our trust also are made manifest in your consciences. That means, listen, this God we are serving, if you are enjoying his grace and love today, that doesn't mean that this God is only merciful. He's wrathful and he's holy. Please, are you getting this thing I'm teaching you? So you see, it is out of these four structures that Satan afflicts Christians. Satan knows the damage of sin, what sin can do in a man's life. He knows that when you sin today, God has forgiven you. But as long as you want to advance in your spiritual pursuit, sin will hinder you. I was telling my son Louis today that why is it that when you use a car for a time and the oil and the filter is dirty, you have to change it? Because if you don't change it, it will slow the speed of the car, number one. Number two, it will damage the engine. That means sin can slow your speed in the spirit and it can damage you. When a virus affects a computer, why is it that you need antivirus? Because the virus slows down the speed of the machine. That means if the machine had a certain speed, you will experience it. So listen, when we are preaching to you, I'm not the preacher that condemns people to hell, because I've seen what Christ has done for us. Anyone who has genuinely, truly believed Jesus Christ will never see the feet of hell. That's what my Bible teaches me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John chapter 10 from the verse 28 to 30, he says, and I give to them eternal life and they shall not perish. In the end, he said, I am my Father one. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Maybe let's go to the verse 28 so you understand it. He says that, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. Now give that to me in amplified version for you to get it clearly. He says, and I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall what? Never lose it or perish throughout the ages. To all eternity they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. So the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. That's for an unbeliever. It's a gracious thing to fall into the hands of God as a believer. Because when you fall in his hand, you can't come out. Look at the next verse. He says, my Father who has given them to me is what? Greater and mightier than all these. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, in the verse 28, whose hand was first? Christ's hand. The second one, whose hand was that? You know what he's saying? First one was whose hands? Christ. Second one was whose hands? This is how secured you are. The hand of Jesus, the hand of the Father. You are blocked. Listen. You see, that is why we are confident in preaching this gospel. Because listen to me, when a man finds himself in Christ, he has found himself in eternal security. But the man that wants to have rewards in heaven, the man that wants to shake the kingdoms of hell, the man that wants to advance God's kingdom and advance in his spiritual pursuit of God is a man that must walk by the standard God establishes in his word. So listen to me, you cannot have an effective Christian life when you are living in sin. Never. Satan knows that believers who are lustful will never last in their spiritual journey. It's not possible. I keep telling you that that love is the atmosphere of heaven. But lust is the enemy's ultimate perversion of the glory of heaven. Meaning that to the extent that you are free from lust is the extent to which you enjoy the glory of heaven. Check it. Any believer who is battling with lust battles with his spiritual life. Check it. Because you'll be praying and the prayer is powerless. He just knows that something is wrong. It's like there's a battle. There's a battle. It's like you're not able to serve God well. And most of the time, they are satanic implants. That's why when you're sleeping in your boyfriend's house, in and out, you carry 2 weeks back. You stay there for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 8 days. What happens is that a time is coming when you want to come to church. It's like you feel you don't want to come to church, sir. When they are preaching like that, you feel they are talking to you. Meanwhile, they're not talking to you. No, that's it. Satan disorients your soul structure. Is it? So you are forgiving past, present, future sins, but sin can damage your soul structure. Listen, your soul is like a system unit. It can be corrupted. You can have a bad app on it. When you go to Play Store, you can install apps that will help you. You can also install apps that will damage you. Am I lying? It's the same with your soul. Your soul, it can accept anything. That's what the Bible says, that what profit a man if he what gains the whole world and what loses his soul. This one was not just talking about unbelievers. No, because a believer also has a soul. You can lose your soul as a child of God to the enemy. There are many, in fact, every believer, God owns your spirit, but you choose who owns your soul. Your soul is a makeup of your mind, your will, and your emotion. So when the Bible says you can profit, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul, that means you can be a child of God, yet your mind, your will, your decisions, your actions, and your emotions are governed by the enemy. And so listen, in our pursuit of God, we must strive. That's what will make you fast. Because listen, the Bible says the whole world is governed and under the sway of the evil one. Let me look for that verse for you, so you understand the world you are living in. 1 John 5. Can someone get that for me? 1 John 5. Are there some Bible scholars around? He says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. All right. 19. He says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world, what? Lieth in wickedness. There is so much wickedness in this world that if you are living in this world, apart from your intimacy with God, you'll be in trouble. The systems of this world have been designed to strangle your walk with God. So, in as much as a new job can be a great testimony, it is after 5 years we'll know whether it was a testimony or a trap. Because some had new jobs and they were damaged by the job. Receiving admission letter to Legon, it's a testimony, but it is after 5 years we would know whether it was a testimony or not. And that one, you determine it. So listen, there are some of you asking for miracles, and God looks at you and knows you can't carry it. People don't know that sometimes God withholds marriage from you because you're not ready. Yes, sir. He withholds certain jobs from you because you're not ready. To you, you say, I'm fine. God, give me a job and let's see. Give. And God says, That was just, by the way, today's message. Let me use some few minutes to touch on what we are doing and dealing with in our series on quiet time. Do you believe you're in a good church at all?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're on a series we titled The Importance and Power of Quiet Time. We have explained that this concept of quiet time is something that many believers have trivialized, and I strongly believe that is a trap of the enemy. Satan has made that name quiet time look so simple. Quiet time. Quiet time is just spending a time of quietness with God. So what is quiet time? Morning devotion. You know, some years ago, I didn't respect it. I said, it's babies who do quiet time. Spiritual immature babies, they do quiet time in the morning. We were matured. We have time that we spend time with God. But over time, I have come to value the importance and power of quiet time. That is the believer's source of victory and strength. Like I'm telling you. So listen to me. If you are going through series of worry, anxiety, depression, all kinds of sorrows governing your life, I am telling you, the first thing you need is not a miracle. In fact, if you need a miracle, your first miracle is quiet time. If you restore quiet time in your life, when you decide to make quality time you spend with God on a daily basis, something will shift. I'm telling you. So listen to me. It is not everybody that is guaranteed the peace of God. Check your Bible. And it is not everybody that is guaranteed that the God of peace will be with him. Go and check your Bible. Read the book of Philippians chapter 4, the verse 6. You will see something that will shock you. Look, he says, Philippians 4, 6. Now watch that. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What happens next? He says, and the peace of God. So listen to me. The peace of God does not channel to every believer. It is only those who channel their worrying into worrying that experience that peace. He says, in everything, oh my goodness, is that verse that changed me? In everything by prayer, everything, you know, everything. Everything actually from a very strong Greek word, everything means everything. You've seen everything, you want Greek? He says, when you go home and find a sheet of paper, write there, in everything by prayer. Put it there to remind you. That means God wants to hear everything about your life in a conversation through prayer. Isn't this shocking? When you are leaving in the morning, you pray, you commit your day. When you get to work, you pray and thank him for bringing you to work, bringing you safely. They called you and they told you something that really worried your heart. And as you are worrying, you remember that in everything by prayer. Then you say, Lord, I commit this thing to you. Please take over in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are walking to town. You say, Father, preserve my family. Keep them in the name of Jesus. Anything that goes through your mind that seems to be a worry, he says in everything by prayer. When you understand this, your life will radiate a certain aura of spiritual energy around you. Something will shift. Doubts will dissolve. Problems will dissolve. You may be, see, can you imagine that these apostles were in prison, yet they were rejoicing? That means joy is not a product of excitement. You can be having problems and still walking in joy. Why not Paul and Silas? These were people who were bleeding after being beaten and put in prison, yet at midnight they were praising God. How do you explain that? So listen, there's a difference between joy and entertainment. Entertainment is the devil's version of joy. It looks like it, but it's not it. So you can watch funny face and you can enjoy that experience, but that's not joy. Because the last time I checked, in Romans 14, 17, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in what? The Holy Ghost. So the joy is a product of the Holy Ghost, and those who stay long in him will experience it. So, coming back there to Ephesians 4, 7, he says, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding, what? Who is there? Who is not going back there? Well, what? Keep your heart. So listen, there is a certain system God designed to keep your heart. He calls it the peace of God. So it is the peace of God that keeps a man's heart and mind. That means when your mind and your heart is not at peace or experiencing God's peace, you'll be in peace. So this is how you experience the peace of God. But the next verse tells us how you experience the God of peace. Check your Bible. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Print this in your bedroom. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are. No, he's telling you the things you must entertain in your mind. He's talking to Christians who allow anything to pass through their mind and they meditate on it. Listen, as a believer, it's not everything you meditate on. It's not everything you think on. You can think of offense and magnify the thoughts. Listen, if you know how to worry, you can be a very good meditator. Yes. If you really know how to worry, that means you are a candidate for meditation. So worry means that you take that thing worrying you and you ponder over it. Now, crocron. Why am I like this? How did I end here? We are seeing here. Abraham Edimiwu. No. Makuma. Ashema. Ebrusu. That process is actually the very correct process for meditation. So that means you take that verse of scripture and worry about it. So you're thinking about it. The path of the just is like a shining sun, shining ever brighter and brighter on the perfect day. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So at that time, you are being overwhelmed with things, and that verse comes. Listen, he's telling us the things the believer must think about. He says one of them is that think about things that are true. Think about things that are honest. Think of things that are what? Just. And things that are what? Pure. Can you imagine? So a thought comes to mind that is not pure. Listen, the reason why God is saying that you must think about these things is because the first process Satan uses to lure you into sin is your thought. If you don't fight from your thought perspective and what runs through your thoughts enters your mind, your heart, you are in trouble. I'm teaching good. So listen to me. Sin operates in thoughts and suggestions. Satan knows Christians don't know this thing. I'm giving you an armory. So now, for example, you were expecting to pass your exam, and when you went, you realized that it was a D. What happens is that at that time, the enemy can take advantage of that sorrow you're about to sorrow in that failure. And what he's going to do is that he's going to paint a certain picture in your mind the more you are pondering over it. And I mean, yeah, sorry. And Satan will tell you, yes, it was the church that caused you to fail. Don't trust them again. Don't go to church again. Can I show you something? Anytime you think about the wrong or the right things, you involve a spirit. So if you think about the right thing, what happens is that you involve the Holy Spirit. When you think about the wrong thing, you involve an evil spirit. When he sees that you are thinking along that pattern, he will help you. If you are thinking about things that are sexual, he will give you the name of the website. It will come as a thought. If you think about an offense for very long, Satan will give you an idea of how to revenge. When you see him, pass here, pass here. Block his number. Has he ever come across to your mind before? Block him. Block her. make sure that block is legal. Those of you like blocking people just like that. I'm teaching Gudu. These are practical stuffs. Almost every believer here has experienced what I'm teaching. That's why you're quiet. Have you realized in this ministry, you can't say tell them because you are the one. So here, I realize that people don't say tell them because the almost you almost like. He says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, he says, and if there be any praise, what did he say? Think on these things. I was shocked. Look at the next verse. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So the first one says that in everything by prayer and the peace of God. Now he's saying when you are able to govern your thoughts with the right things, the God of peace will be with you. Praise God. Are you getting something today? I love the word of God. So remember in our teaching on quiet time, we began to teach on the privileges that quiet time gives us or allows us. We said quiet time allows us on four great privileges. We said the first privilege that quiet time gives us is that we are able to give devotion to God. Number two, we get direction from God. Number three, we gain delight in God. And number four, we grow more into God. Or more like God. Please, are you following this? If today is your first time, you are about 10 teachings behind. So go to our podcast. Just download the podcast. You can download Anchor or Play Store or Spotify. And go and look for the teaching on quiet time. It will change your life. Can you imagine 24 hours and everything you thought about was on Facebook? You can't live a productive life as a Christian. Have you realized that it is more easier for you to acquaint with worldly things than godly things? It's because you are driving energy from that force. So that force also drives you into it. It's simple. If you are struggling to do Bible reading, it's because you have built an energy in the opposite direction. So now the energy you have built is an opposing force that is hindering you to draw to the energy God uses to get you into Him. So listen, the more you are spending time on Facebook, you may be thinking you are just watching something, but it's an energy you are building. So you take your Bible, you are sleeping. You are watching a movie, you are active. There's a problem. You are building more energy in another area and that energy is making you strong in it. It's making you successful. So what you are going to do now is now the way you force yourself into movies, especially the Korean ones. The way you force yourself into talking to people over unnecessary things for 4 hours. The way you force yourself into entertaining certain friends into your life, you will now have to force yourself into divine godly things. This is not automatic. I am telling you, if you want to walk with the Spirit must see you actively doing something. So like I told you, nobody ends up an addict of pornography. No. He started watching at will. At first, you can choose to watch on Tuesdays and not on Fridays. When you started, you had a certain power of your own, so you can choose. Then the spirit in charge of perversion begins to see you actively. He says, well done, boy. As you do it over time, now the spirit responsible for that activity now takes over your life and now begins to strengthen you to do it. Now you want to stop, you can't stop. A spirit is involved. Anything you are trying to stop doing and you don't have the power it takes to stop, a spirit is responsible. I need to educate you. So, because man was designed to be in charge, to choose what he wants to do. So, as long as that man now loses his free will to choose, that means a certain spirit is luring him. That means it takes war, it takes a fight to break from that slavery. That's a serious matter I'm teaching you. So now, you have to start increasing the energy of the divine. That's why if you're in this church, before the name fasting will disappear from your mind, now check. And listen, in as much as nobody is under pressure to do it, you keep hearing it. Yes. Because I've come to realize that we are in a battle. Many Christians, they are still holding feeding bottle. They are holding feeding bottle instead of holding sword. And they've been Christians for 10 years, 15 years, still holding feeding bottle. They can't even pray for 20 minutes. It's a problem. I'm telling you. And this church is a church that God raised to raise disciples for him, to raise an army, soldiers for him. So if you want to be spoon-fed, you are in the wrong place. We will teach you how to pray. We will teach you how to fast. We will teach you how to serve God. It's a fasting, no prayer. You resume again. We are finishing the fasting in December. You see, actually now I'm even getting fed up on trying to keep the next year's theme in suspense. But who said all these things are childish, unbiblical things you have brought into our life? And he said that the theme for next year is this. Are you ready for the theme for next year? Master, any readiness? No. Say, obey here, no. And only ask seminar. Even last 4 years, we put it in balloon. We say, God, he has sent me, didn't he say? We put it in balloon. And then pie balloon. Oh, they're too full. The theme for 2022 is a year of. What's your sermon going? Let me tell you, the theme for next year is the year of the spirit life. I'm telling you in advance. So we all prepare for it. Nobody will put in suspense again. We have put things on ourselves that God, the Holy Ghost, never instructed it. We are the ones who designed it, that every year puts the people in suspense. Are you ready? Say, we are ready. Meanwhile, those who are there, when you preach the thing, don't do it. Our year for 2023 is a year of what? Our theme is what? Spirit life. Listen, the way the Lord is dealing with me, you see, I'm not called for this church. I'm telling you the truth. I'm called for the body of Christ. I'm telling you my calling. I was called for the body of Christ. That's why my messages don't stay in these four corners. I'm telling you the truth. Now, so where was I? So you see, dancer camp, we train you to fast. We train you to pray. We do a lot of prayer meetings. We do fasting meetings. What we are trying to help you do is that we are helping you to regain a certain energy that will give you power to do spiritual things. I've explained to you countless number of times, and I'll keep saying this until it dawns on you, that Satan finds two major things Number one is salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, the Bible says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The verse 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. So Satan blinds people to the knowledge of the truth. So it's very difficult for you to save people. Because most of the time, every hindrance to salvation is satanic. He uses philosophies. He uses addictions in sin. He uses condemnation to keep people in sin. All kinds of things so that people will not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you following this thing? Yes, the second thing Satan fights hard with all his strength is spiritual growth. And remember, I've told you several times that there are three necessities or the three essentials of growth. Number one is we grow by eating. Number two, we grow by breathing. Number three, we grow by exercise. And I've told you that growth by eating is what? The word of God. Growth by breathing is prayer. Pray without ceasing. Just like we don't breathe, we don't cease to breathe. So prayer is the breath of the soul of the believer. Spiritual exercises are what? Spiritual disciplines we engage in that toughens the muscles of our soul. Are you getting this thing? So now, Satan knows that once you are actually engaging in spiritual gymming, spiritual eating, spiritual breathing, what is going to happen is that you are not going to become a giant. When you put earpiece on the hands of a baby, in as much as earpiece is light for you, the baby can't free himself. You know why? Because the baby has not grown to the capacity to handle it. So the baby will cry in chain. But meanwhile, to you, earpiece cannot be a chain. So when you grow, things that bind people can't bind you. When you grow, things that put people in bondage can't put you in bondage. You know why? Because you gain a lot of capacity. Listen to me. When you read the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, it says your strength is small. So what that means is that adversity comes to prove your maturity. It comes to prove your strength. So listen, if this speaker, okay, my son PJ, he's 3 years. If he can't carry this speaker, the problem is not with the speaker. It is what? His strength and capacity. Can I add this story? If I'm looking for someone to carry this speaker, okay, do you think I'll think of my son? Why? Because I know he can't handle it. So our point and send forth someone, for example, Mr. Sowa, please come carry this speaker. Bema nebana. You just carry it lightly and put it down. You see, he used one hand. He just used one hand to carry it and put it down. You know why? Capacity. Are you seeing that? So, if I wanted to send someone on an assignment to carry this thing, I won't call my son. I'll call him. Some of you, you see, God does not always give you what you want. He gives you what you can carry. So, listen to me. The more edified, the more you pay the price to grow and mature, the more your assignments increase. You make yourself worthy to be sent. God uses you for divine assignments. There are some of you, if you keep growing, God will use you as a warrior in your family. You'll be the one to deliver your family from evil. I know one man of God, in his family, nobody ever married. And he saw the trend. All his 3 sisters, none of them married. When he got this revelation I'm teaching you, he started praying, making decrees. After he got this revelation, his 6 siblings, 35, 38, none of them. When he started making those decrees and broke those powers in the family, guess what? All his siblings started marrying one in the same year, actually. Listen to me. These things you are teaching are real. If you increase capacity, you'll be a deliverer. The last time I checked, do you remember the Bible says that he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And what? Greater works. Jesus gave us introduction. Why is it that you are believing and you are not doing greater works? In fact, you are doing worse works. That tells you that if you just go by the application of that verse without understanding how Christianity works, you'll be disappointed in Jesus. Because Jesus says, if I believe, I'll do greater works. Listen, you need to get this thing. We can't believe ourselves into everything in the kingdom. Go and check your Bible. There are promises given to believers and there are promises given to overcomers. Go and check. To him that overcomes, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. Go and check it. To him that overcomes, I will give him power over nations. Meanwhile, there are promises also for believers. Telling us that not every believer is an overcomer. So listen, the more faithful you are in your dealings with God, the more God begins to promote your ranking. There are some of you, you must increase in rank. You increase rank by the prices you pay. And quiet time is the first price you pay in your walk with God. You don't bargain with that one. Never live a day, never end a day without spending time with Jesus. I'm telling you. So the more you're increasing in divine capacity, the more fearful you become to Satan. He knows it. And this one is not a matter of age. I'm telling you. It's not age. I'm a young man, but the grace of God upon my life is not young. Am I teaching good? So listen to me. Destiny is not age. It's capacity. So, one of the ways you begin to increase in capacity is quiet time. So now, we looked at the first point, which we said that one of the privileges we get in quiet time is that we give devotion to God. I've explained that to you. Right? We said devotion is the wholehearted, irrevocable giving up to God, something which may never be taken back again. We explained that, right? Like the apostle said in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4, he says, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. That's a devoted life. It's something you give yourself unto, you don't take it back. Quiet time must be a devotion. That's what we call it, morning devotion. It's how you prove your devotion to Christ. When you are singing, simply devoted to you, oh Lord. Can someone sing it? Can you sing it? Simply devoted to you, oh Lord. I lose my life to follow you. This life that I live is not I. Then leave for me to lay this cry.
One more time.
Simply devoted. Oh, simply devoted to you. Oh Lord, I lose my life to follow you. This life that I live, not I that live, for me to live as Christ.
I think about that for the last time. Simply devoted to you.
Oh, simply devoted to you. Oh Lord, I lose my life to follow you. Not I that lives, for me to live is Christ.
That's what I'm saying.
The life that I live, the life that I live is not my own, for me to live is Christ.
Hallelujah.
devoted to him. These old men of history, that was their secret. They were simply devoted. Do you know that these people never separated their occupation from their spirituality? Daniel was a politician. He never separated his spirituality from his office as a politician. Go and check your Bible. He prayed 3 times a day as his custom was, Daniel 6:10. David was a king. And David came to understand that as a king, the only way I can rule is when God rules me. He knew it. So in the book of Psalm 164, the verse 165, Psalm 119, the verse 164, if I should get it right, 119, the verse 164. David as a king, sorry, Psalm 50, the verse 55, Psalm 55, the verse 17. Check it out. It says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Can you imagine? He's a king. He never separated his office as a king from his spiritual walk with God. No, don't do that. The moment you say, my work is demanding time. No, your work is part of your spirituality. In fact, it was out of Daniel's devotional life that he was able to rule as a governor. Yes. That means you work better when God is involved with your work. Your business will work better if God is the one in charge. I will be successful as a head pastor when God heads this church. I'm telling you. You have a better marriage when you don't separate God from the marriage. And many people don't know that it's our walk with God that must saturate our life in this world. So everything we do must have God synchronizing it, synergizing it. God flowing through them. He must flow in everything. I woke up this dawn. I was supposed to leave at 3 a.m. I was just about going. I realized my son was not feeling well. My wife is the only one taking care of her and the daughter at the same time. I wanted to go because that's my custom. But you see, because I have a deep walk with God, I was about going. The Holy Ghost said, no, stay with your wife. When you go, you'll be insensitive. So now, this is a routine I do. When you understand a walk with God, your routines can be governed by the Holy Ghost. It's a routine I do. But at that time, my wife needed me, but she never said she needed me. It was the Holy Ghost that made me know. And before I came this morning, I realized that if I left, she would have been hurt. So listen, we need to be spiritual in everything. I'm telling you. So there are people who have separated their work from their time with God. So they feel that, okay, when I do my devotion, give what belongs to Caesar to Caesar, right? So I'm done with it. God, I'll see you through the day. Bye-bye. So the only time we think we meet God is when we do our devotion. Meanwhile, the purpose of the devotion is supposed to give us wisdom and empowerment to guide our life. So now God is involved in everything that we do. Your boss comes in the morning and insults you and you are getting bitter and the Holy Ghost says, no, the righteous shall not make haste. At that time, you are now receiving the feedback from your morning devotion. He's telling you to be patient. Are we getting this thing? That business you have started, make Jesus the director. That relationship you have started, make Jesus the head. That education, make Jesus the head. If you finish a 4-year course, and that 4-year course did not advance God's course, it was a foolish course. You come to campus as a Christian, as a part-time student and a full-time Christian. Today, I see part-time believers fighting a full-time devil. You won't win. You won't win. I'm telling you, you won't win. How can a king have a dream, man of God? A king has a dream and comes to tell you that, okay, I wanted to tell you a dream. I want to tell you a dream again. You, come and tell me the dream and interpret. Ah, what kind of foolishness is this? Go and read the book of Daniel chapter 2. And he called all the astrologers and said, if you don't tell me the dream, you all die. Hey! Tell me the dream in my heart and interpret it. Now, what it be that? This is not Daniel's one, oh, that Pharaoh had a dream and told Daniel, and Daniel said, What? Joseph, sorry. And Joseph was there, was like, okay, king, the seven animals that you saw that were fat, that were swallowed up by the slim ones, you know, it represents 7 years of famine. We thank God for Joseph's life, but this one, you have to narrate the dream. Hey! And interpret. So now, hear me. Now, you see, many of you won't talk the same way, so you don't see the need of God. What, you see, I'm a governor. I'm a minister in Babylon. What has dream and interpretation got to do with my office? But there was a time that was needed, and it was his spirituality that gave him answer. So listen, there are most of you are doing your quiet time, you are reading the Bible, you are praying, breaking the fast, there is no feedback. A time is going to come, you will see the results of the investment you are making. So Daniel went to God and he prayed, and God showed him the dream that he had and gave him the interpretation. The moment he had the interpretation, he was promoted. Hey! Listen, if we decide not to involve God in our life, it is we that lose, not him. I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is the best friend any believer can have. I'm telling you, mark this down. You know why? Because, God, the Holy Spirit, your helper. And guess what? The Holy Ghost is God. That means every feature, every quality, every attribute in God is in the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is God in bodily form. The Holy Ghost is God in invisible form or spirit form. So the same advantages the apostles had with Jesus on earth is the same advantage you have in the spirit. With the spirit. So listen to me. The Holy Ghost can teach you certain things that no human being can teach you. No lecturer can teach you in 4 years what he can teach you in 4 minutes. So hear me. If there's a friend to walk with, it's God. You know why? Because he's the only wise God. No one walks with him and not become wise. He's the God of all knowledge. When you walk with him, he gives you a word of knowledge. He's a consuming fire. When you walk with him, he consumes you with fire, and you also become a fire-branded minister. I'm telling you, what are you looking for that you can't find in the Holy Ghost? He says, acquaint yourself with me. Everything will change. I'm talking to believers who want to walk with God. My teachings don't massage people. Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of calling. So what happened last week? I preached for my spirit. Today too, I preached for my spirit. I didn't preach from anything I planned today. Let's see what the Holy Ghost will do next week. But you want to pray and tell God to help you. tell God to help you. That, Lord, I want to develop a deep walk with you. Solomon in his words said that I have kept the vine of others, but my own vineyard I have not kept. It is possible to hang around, going around, doing ministry, and you soon forget the God who called you into it. It is possible to do your work faithfully and lose your walk with God. You want to pray and ask help from God. Ask for help. May you not lose your secret place. Palukumra sonda takalies. Kondivisa kalabroche. Abalako prenesusa kabalies.